From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief. Chloe here, August 11th. Health and longevity in 10. Let's begin with what changed my mind this week. Let's get into it. First, from Science Alert, psychopathic tendencies are linked to microbes inside your body, study reveals. The more we find out about the microbiome, the more we realize how truly profound its effects are in shaping who we become. We already know that the microbes in our bodies may affect our emotions, including our fear response, but how far does their influence reach in terms of determining our personality? The answer, research suggests, is pretty far. Next. Second, from Big Think, why the world needs all 330-meter class telescopes. If you want to view the universe in a way that take us past our current frontiers, you only have a few options. You can build a larger telescope, with greater surface area to collect light and a larger diameter to increase your resolution. You can polish your mirror's surface to be more reflective and smoother, down to nanometer scale precision. You can keep it clean and pristine, reducing your noise. You can build improved adaptive optics systems, better correcting for the distortion of the atmosphere. Up next, the art of being funny. The neuroscience of laughter and why humor is so subjective, one of the top 5 feelings in the world, and I think we can all agree on this, is sitting around with your friends or family and simply laughing your ass off until tears are flowing down your face like a river and your stomach genuinely hurts. That moment where you forget about all of your problems and that laughter takes you away and places you in another reality. It's pure bliss and euphoria. It's something to live for. Humor is an integral part of communication in our day-to-day lives, as well as determining how we form friendships and social bonds with people. Third, from The Forbidden Files. And then, fourth, from Manga Bay. Uzbekistan's Halbara releases serve hunting, not conservation, expert says. The recent drop of over 2,000 captive-bred Asian Halbara in Uzbekistan's desert isn't a restoration project. It's aimed at feeding hunting parties. Nigel Collar, a bird conservation biologist with BirdLife International, says the release sites are hunting concessions for Gulf State falconers, so the birds are essentially sport quarry. He notes there's no broader conservation plan. The only benefit might be that these birds take some pressure off wild populations. The Halbara is listed as vulnerable on the Aachen Red List, and hunting pressure across its range remains high. The agencies involved haven't responded to requests for comment. Next, fifth, from FIES.org. Ancient Maltese seafarers likely navigated by the stars. Researchers study ancient Maltese temples discovered evidence that suggests these prehistoric seafarers likely used astronomical observations to navigate the Mediterranean. The temples, built around 3600-2500 BC, feature alignments with celestial bodies like the constellation of Orion. While it's not a direct proof of their navigational methods, the alignments imply a sophisticated understanding of the night sky. This is consistent with other ancient cultures that used astronomy for navigation, like the ancient Egyptians and Polynesians. A single study published in the Journal of Astronomical History and Heritage supports these findings, but more research is needed to confirm the extent of their navigational techniques. Up next, 6th, from Science Alert. Ketamine alters brain structures but only in one sex, study in mice finds. A recent mouse study published in Science Advances examined how ketamine anesthesia reshapes brain tissue, and it found a striking sex difference. Only female mice showed the effect. The researchers gave ketamine to adult mice, then used a cranial window to watch the living brain in real time. Within an hour, microglia, the brain's immune cells, extended more arms to wrap around neurons in females, boosting the formation of new synaptic connections for up to 2 days after anesthesia. To figure out why this happened, the team sequenced tens of thousands of brain cells and measured hormone levels. They discovered that the stress hormone corticosterone spikes during recovery and in females activates a gene called FKBP5 in microglia. This activation appears to drive the increased microglia neuron contact. When the mice were fed a special diet that reduced microglial density, the ketamine-induced remodeling disappeared, confirming the role of those cells. Male mice did not show the same microglial response, and removing their adrenal glands, the main source of corticosterone, had little impact on brain structure. The authors suggest that other hormonal pathways or timing differences might explain the sex-specific pattern, but more work is needed. These findings are a reminder that drug effects can vary by sex, especially for compounds like ketamine that are also used in depression treatment. While the mouse data are intriguing, we still need human studies to see whether similar mechanisms operate in women and whether they influence recovery or mood after ketamine anesthesia. And then, 7th, from Bryant McGill, Cyberphysical Lessons from Imperial Beekeeping. Source, link in description. Cyberphysical Lessons from Imperial Beekeeping articulates a unified, four-tiered evolutionary model of governance, tracking the migration of sovereign power from physical enclosures to computational states, base orchestration. Next, 8th, from the iWall, Atlantic development odds slowly increasing, and potential impacts from the Pacific's 93C and Hawaii are growing. In brief, we continue to track development potential in the Atlantic over the next week or so, and things remain fairly unimpressive though plausible. In the Pacific, a system passing close to Hawaii by the weekend is a distinct possibility, and we have an update with the latest. Looking at satellite this evening, and the primary disturbance we're watching in the Atlantic looks half decent. We haven't seen it hit INVEST classification yet, but I imagine we are not too far off. Over the next couple days, this disturbance will have mostly modest conditions to work with. Up next, 9th, from Popular Rationalism, White House answers the ACIP injunction, makes vaccine choice federal policy. The court put a hold on the administration's January changes to the childhood vaccine schedule and on the newly appointed ACIP, saying the process likely violated the Administrative Procedure Act. Trump's August 10 executive order doesn't overturn that injunction. Instead, it declares the three-tier gold standard recommendations, universal, high-risk, and shared, decision, federal policy, moving the decision-making above the ACIP that's currently frozen. The order keeps measles, mumps, rubella, diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, polio, HIB, pneumococcal, HPV, and varicella vaccines for all kids, shifts others to high-risk or shared, decision categories and says Novaxine is being removed from the schedule. It also tells the Justice, Education, and EXAS departments to pursue legal actions that protect parental, religious, and disability rights when state vaccine mandates conflict with federal constitutional guarantees. And then, 10th from New Atlas, Buis Nurse Slick, transformable camper van learned some new tricks. Buis Nurse showed off two new motorhomes at the 2025 Dusseldorf Caravan Salon, the Habitant and Signature series, each with interiors that can reconfigure to make better use of space. The biggest change is the Habitant 6.1, which replaces the traditional sliding bathroom with a folding module borrowed from the Signature line. That swap opens up a larger, more flexible cabin that can be rearranged for sleeping, cooking, or lounging depending on the trip. The chassis have also been upgraded, but the real draw is the way the interior can shift shape without adding extra length, giving a small van a surprisingly roomy feel. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow. Want this every morning? It's free. Set up your own feed at storyflow.com.